again, everyone, and welcome to it, the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 13th day of August 2019. Oh, and what a day it is. What a day it has been, and what a day it's going to be. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend and all that good stuff. The insanity never stops. You can email me, by the way, at Derek, you can email Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. It's just that simple, just that easy. We've got a lot of stuff to get to, including, is Fredo the new N-word? Have I been dropping the N-bomb all this time? Oh, Chris Cuomo, there's a reason we call you Fredo. And actually, I'm kind of sympathetic to what he was going through. I think it was kind of garbage. And I'm going to probably tick off some people. But there you go. And then we've got all sorts of other examples of ridiculous things, including Joe Biden going that he knows he makes gaffes, but he thinks it's part of his charm. And he's mad that some people don't like that he makes gaffes. You got to hear this story. He's watching the boat sink and saying, you know what? We could always swim. What a mess. What a mess. What a mess. Let's talk about a mess, though. First, a word from our sponsor and a mess that's inside you. Life Change Tea. It's a game changer. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I've noticed that I'm feeling so much better. And I can't tell you how much more energy I have. It puts the pep in my step. It gets me going in the morning and keeps me going all day. How does it work? Life Change Tea. It's a proprietary herbal formula. It's a gentle daily cleanse to rid your body of harmful filth and intruders. Just cleans you out. You don't need that stuff in you. Let's face it. Food was different a long time ago when our parents and grandparents were around. It wasn't processed. It was free of pesticides. It was actually nourishing and healthy for our bodies. Today, not as much. No. GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, heavy processing, they've depleted a lot of the nutrition from our food. It's no wonder we get run down. You add to that the stuff that stays in you for a lot longer than it should, and you got a problem. That's why you get Life Change Tea. Go try it for yourself. Go to getthetea.com now. That's getthetea.com. Get ready for more energy. I drink it every day. You brew up a gallon of it. You take a drink. You drink a cup of it every day. Very simple. Don't overdo it because it's very, very effective. Go to getthetea.com, and as an added bonus to listeners to this very podcast, all you have to do is enter my name, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, and you get free shipping. And you think, well, what am I doing? That's expensive tea. It lasts. You brew up a lot of it. You brew up a gallon of it. It lasts a long time. So, and it will get you going. And you'll be a believer. Trust me, it'll clean you out. And Lord knows we could use a lot of that kind of cleaning out. What a day it has been. Look, I'm going to play some audio for you that is full of expletives. You've probably heard about it. You probably haven't heard it because it can't be played on the radio. That's the beauty of podcasting. It makes me losing sleep and poking myself in the eyes with my glasses as I put them on and watching cats sleep when I should be sleeping. It makes it all worthwhile, ladies and gentlemen, that I can play obscenity-laced Chris Cuomo videos. The dude, I'm going to play this first, and then I'll tell you why I'm partially on Team Chris Cuomo. And, well, I don't want to set it up too much, and I don't want to explain too much beforehand, because Lord knows I'll babble about it afterwards anyway. Oh, by the way, if you want to enter to win a signed copy of Liz Wheeler's book, Tipping Points, you have to email me by Thursday at 10 a.m. That's the deadline, because at 1:30, I'm scheduled to sit down with Ben Howe about his new book, Immoral Majority. And I know some of you are going, oh, no, Ben Howe, blah, 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 that book. We're going to get into it. We're going to have a discussion about his take on Trump world. I like Ben as a person from the times I've met him. He's got a book out. I want to hear him out. have a discussion, see where it goes. You got to give it a chance. You can't just live your life with your fingers plugged in your ears going la, 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 la whenever something you don't like comes on. But he's going to draw for the Liz Wheeler books. So you have to get it entered by 10 a.m. because I got to have time to put it in the document and cut it up and send it in and all that stuff. So 10 a.m. Thursday is the deadline. If you haven't entered yet, and a lot of you have entered, if you haven't entered yet, you have until 10 a.m. Thursday to enter for the signed Wiz Leeler. Wiz Leeler. Sounds like a rapper's name. The signed Liz Wheeler book. All right, let's get to the obscenity-laced portion of the program. I could have gone through and bleeped this, but again, the beauty of a podcast is you don't have the FCC or annoying program directors telling you what you can and can't play or can and can't say. But no, if the F word offends you, you're about to be offended. You can skip forward 1 minute and 47 seconds from when this starts, and then you won't hear any of the F word. And if the F word's Fredo, you're kind of screwed for the rest of the program. I'll explain why that should be funny after we listen to Chris Cuomo freak out on somebody on Sunday in New York.
I thought that's who you were.
No, punk-ass bitches from the right call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. It was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
and
brother?
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian? It's a fucking insult to your people. It's an insult to your fucking people. It's like the N-word for us. Wow. Is that a cool fucking thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah, but if you want to play, then we'll fucking play. If you've got something you want to say about what I do on television, then say it. But don't be gonna fall in the
fucking
insult.
Hey, man, hey, listen.
What?
I don't want any problems.
Yeah, you're going to have a big fucking problem.
What's the problem?
It's a little different on TV. Don't fucking insult me like that.
I didn't insult you.
The fuck you call me Fredo? It's like I call you punk bitch. You like that? You want that to be your nickname?
I didn't call you that.
Called me Fredo. You know my name's not fucking Fredo.
I thought your name was.
You did not think my name was fucking Fredo. Don't be a liar.
You
want to be a man? Stand up like a man.
I'm standing up, man.
You want to be a man?
I'm
here. Then fucking own it. Then own what you said.
Hey.
Then own what you said.
Listen, man. I don't have a problem with you, man.
Yeah, you're going to have a fucking problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll fucking ruin your shit. I'll fucking throw you down these stairs like a fucking punk.
Please do.
Why? So you can fucking sue?
You don't want
so you
to
can
that.
Fucking sue?
Well, why don't you do it?
Go take a swing. Oh, you want to call me Fredo? Take a fucking swing.
I'm not gonna swing.
Take a fucking swing. Watch your fucking hands. Take a swing. Watch your fucking hands. Take a swing. No, no, come on, boy. Come on, boy. So you want to call me shit? Call me shit.
Hey, listen, man.
I'm right fucking here.
I'm not doing anything.
I'll fucking wreck your shit.
Stop.
I'll fucking wreck your shit.
Stop.
You didn't know. You didn't know what you were doing with me.
I thought it was your name, man.
You didn't know.
I thought it was your name.
You didn't know, right?
Hey,
you didn't know what you were saying, right?
I thought it was his name.
I'm breaking it up. I'm breaking it up.
This is my buddy.
Hey, look at all these cameras. You're in for it. You're in for it.
I'm in for what?
You're
you call me fucking Fredo?
You're in for it.
You call me Fredo?
Sounds like a hell of a day in the park, doesn't it? A lot of fun there. Look, I'm of two minds of this. Part of me, no doubt, because of everything I say on this show, and I'm just being honest with you, that we've got to give the left a dose of their own medicine, likes this, that somebody would give Chris Cuomo crap out in public, the way that the left has given conservatives crap. Sarah Huckabee Sanders run out of a restaurant in Virginia. The former Secretary of Homeland Security chased out of a restaurant in Washington, D.C. The people outside of the homes of Mitch McConnell and Tucker Carlson, you name it, people are getting harassed everywhere when they're conservatives. And that has become the norm. And the left either sits quietly or golf claps it, or they're just, you know, giving it a huge round of applause and cheering the people for doing it. And it's always couched under, it is their First Amendment right to do so. And this is what we need more of. Over the last week, we have seen leftists on MSNBC cheering and calling for more of these sorts of things. Protests outside the guy who owns SoulCycle's house. Because he was hosting a fundraiser for the president over the weekend in the Hamptons. One of the fat people on MSNBC was saying, we need to get out there with pitchforks and torches and scream and yell at these people. They don't have a right to be quiet. And the anchors on MSNBC said, you know, people need to exercise their First Amendment rights. Okay, people need to exercise their First Amendment rights. Calling Chris Cuomo Fredo is perfectly acceptable within that context. They're exercising their First Amendment rights. What I think is hilarious is Chris Cuomo trying to say that that's like saying the F word. No, it's not like saying the F word. It's like saying the M word. Moron. It's an insult to your intelligence. It has nothing to do with you being Italian. People are called Fredo all the time. And it was kind of funny after this went viral yesterday. A whole bunch of people dug up clips of people using the F word, calling everybody Fredo, calling Devin Nunes Fredo, calling Don Jr. Fredo, calling this one and that one, calling everybody Chris Matthews. I saw at least three clips of him calling Don Jr. Fredo. That's somehow okay. I'll play in a second a clip of Anna Navarro using the term Fredo to describe Don Jr. on Chris Cuomo's show back in January. Chris Cuomo did not step up and say, wait a second. You cannot, that is an ethnic insult akin to the F word. Because it's not. That being said, and we'll get more into that in a second. That being said, Chris Cuomo was out with his family. I can understand his anger. This guy, according to a couple of published reports that I've seen, I haven't seen his name. And if I did, I wouldn't publicize it because I think that's why he did it. I'm not even going to give his YouTube name. If you want to find it, you can find it. But that's the whole video as far as I can tell. He said that, according to a couple of interviews, that he honestly didn't know that his name was not Fredo. Because he watches, it's garbage. That is absolute, total, 100% garbage. Here's the story I'm reading. It was up at townhall.com. The YouTube video claims to be footage sent in by blah, blah, blah. Not going to do that. And goes on to explain that, quote, a fan of news went to ask Chris Cuomo for a photo. Mind you that the man who asked him did not know his real name and knows him only through the Rush Limbaugh show. And on that show, Rush repeatedly calls him Fredo. So the man legitimately thought his name was Fredo. At this point, Chris Cuomo loses it and threatens the man with violence. And that last sentence is all in caps lock. So whoever sent that email in was being totally for serious because they're using caps lock. This explanation doesn't hold water. And here's why. Rush Limbaugh is a radio program. So if you only know Chris Cuomo from the Rush Limbaugh show, you've never seen a picture of Chris Cuomo. Therefore, you're very unlikely to recognize Chris Cuomo at a restaurant on a Sunday afternoon in New York City. See? That's my problem with it. If you're going to be a dick, and you want to be a dick, go for it. Knock yourself out. If that's who you want to be, that's how you want to live. You're free to do it. But to then lie about it, to then try and spin it as though you're the victim, that's where my problem comes in. If he's out with his family and they're having a meal and apparently his 9-year-old daughter was with him and this guy comes up just trying to, you know, be a dick. You go, hey, do you mind if I get a picture with you, Fredo? When the guy freaks out on you, don't be surprised by it. Now, of course, Chris Cuomo went too far. Chris Cuomo went into a rage and was ready to fight. But I imagine if you're getting badgered constantly by conservatives, you're going to have a short fuse. It lets you know how much better and less rage-filled conservatives are, because they don't come out of their houses with guns and start blasting into the air. They don't start throwing food at restaurants at the people who are protesting them. They don't call for boycotts and to burn the places down. They don't threaten to beat the crap out of people like Cuomo did, throw them down a flight of stairs. But to sit there and try and claim that, hey, I didn't know, I legitimately thought his name was Fredo, is insane. If you're to take this guy at his word, and you're sitting there in this restaurant in New York, and you see somebody, and you're like, that guy looks vaguely familiar. And somebody says, oh, his name's Fredo. And are you sure that's who it is? Fredo Cuomo from CNN? I'm not really sure. You have the phone. You have your phone with you. And his buddy was filming this, so clearly people could have looked things up. And you look it up and you see his name is not Fredo. If you search Fredo Cuomo, yes, pictures of Chris Cuomo will come up, but so will the fact that his name is Chris. Now, again, if you want to be a dick to somebody, knock yourself out. That's your right. But own it. Don't try and hide behind, I just fell off the turnip truck and I still got straw sticking out of my collar and I don't know what's going on. I'm new to town and I'm just scared that this man is being mean to me. There is no winner in all of this, but I can understand why Chris Cuomo would be pissed. And if you're going to do this in front of his family instead of him just walking down the street or whatever and you yell Fredo, you have to be prepared for the consequences. That being said, threatening to throw a guy down the stairs and having to be restrained and people getting in between them, that's a bit much. Develop a little bit thicker skin. I'm part Italian, so I can say with certainty that calling someone Fredo is not an Italian ethnic slur, is not the equivalent of the N-word. WAP is, for some weird reason. And I remember here, and nobody's ever, I don't look Italian, but we're part Italian. I remember hearing the first time I heard that WAP was an insult, was a racial slur. I'm like, what the hell does WAP mean? What does it mean? It apparently means without papers, short for without papers, and refers to when a whole bunch of Italian immigrants came to the country without papers or whatever. I don't get it. It doesn't offend me. I don't care. People are too hypersensitive. Chris Cuomo, I can understand why he's hypersensitive, but what I can't understand is why he isn't prepared for this, why he isn't more stable, why he isn't able to handle this better. It's not the first time he's heard it, even though he's with his family. Look, if some guy comes over with a couple of people and they got cameras and they start giving you crap in front of your family, you're going to be pissed. But you are in the public eye. You and your network and your programming kind of invite this when you either actively or passively cheer it happening to conservatives. So you see, I'm all over the map on this one. There's no winner in this. It was kind of funny to watch. Chris Cuomo made his point and should have walked away. Instead, he didn't. He stayed. He wanted a confrontation. This guy was filming it, so there's no doubt that he wanted some kind of confrontation. And at the end, you hear Cuomo say, "You just want to sue me." It's a whole bunch of douchebags acting douchey. That's the easiest way to put it. But if, and back to the audio, if saying someone, calling someone Fredo, who happens to be Italian, is the new N-word, then you're going to have to explain on your show, Chris, why you let it go out on your airwaves just back in January. This is Anna Navarro, who, well, we can talk about Anna Navarro. Her biggest accomplishment is putting her name on a letterhead and being like co-chair of Jeb's gubernatorial campaign and being the Hispanic co-chair or co-chair of Hispanic outreach or something ridiculous like that. She hasn't really accomplished anything. She has accomplished something. She has milked worthlessness for a lot of money out of CNN, mostly because she calls herself a Republican. Well, she used to, and CNN calls her a Republican, so it allows them to pretend that they have Republicans on. But listen to the bridge troll, this weeble, this liberal weeble who calls herself a Republican on Chris Cuomo's show. Now picture it. There's Anna Navarro on the left, and then there's Fredo in the center, and then there is some other guy. He doesn't matter. He doesn't say anything in this clip. Chris Cuomo in the middle does his typical blank stare. Now, throughout the whole thing, if Chris Cuomo really believes that Fredo is akin to the N-word for Italians, he says nothing and he shows nothing. There is no wincing. There should be a, "Hey, wait a second, don't use that word." There's nothing. He's just got that blank, "I'm trying to hold in a fart" kind of look on his face. But here's Anna Navarro from back in January talking to Fredo himself using the term Fredo.
"Now, at the end of the day, Donald Trump Jr. and whatever he says, can I just file my nails? I mean, this is an entitled, rich, spoiled little brat whose only call to fame is being his daddy's son, who hasn't built anything of his own, who hasn't done anything of his own, who is somehow trying to hang on to the fame of his father in order to have some level of relevancy. Steve is right. He didn't even make the cut that his brother-in-law and sister did to be part of the Oval Office and the White House staff. Daddy kept Fredo back home.
Again, no response from Fredo sitting there in the center box, in the center square, the Paul Lind of his own show. Just lets it go, lets it slide. Now, if he really believes that Fredo is the N-word, he would have at least winced, he would have at least blinked, he would have at least grunted. Instead, he let it slide. So forgive me if I am a little suspicious of the sincerity of his outrage. I think his outrage on other reasons is justified. But when he goes and says, well, it's an ethnic slur, which CNN PR, their public relations arm, said in a statement, that, well, this is an ethnic slur. It's not an ethnic slur. It's an intelligence slur or a lack of intelligence. If Chris Cuomo's brother weren't governor of New York, if CNN weren't CNN, if CNN had standards, there's no way in God's green earth Chris Cuomo would have his own show on CNN. He's just not very good at his job. He's not particularly intellectually honest because he might not be intellectually up to the task. I don't know. Maybe it's corruption. Maybe it's Fredo's disease. Whatever you want to ascribe it to, the fact remains that he's not exactly the brightest bulb on the tree. And when he goes and talks about, well, this is a kin, if any of you are Italian, or okay, I'm part Italian, so I can call you Fredo then? Is that how it works, Chris? Because I want to get this straight. I need to know which slurs I can use to describe how stupid you are. Everybody just needs to chill the hell out. This is leave people alone. And as long as conservatives are not left alone in the public square, just minding their own business, not giving speeches at political rallies or whatever, then you got to take a dose of your own medicine. Maybe Chris Cuomo will come out and be a little more sympathetic next time there's a protest outside somebody's house. Maybe he will be a little more sympathetic instead of going, well, it's a First Amendment right to storm into a private property restaurant and start screaming at the top of your lungs at somebody. Remember when Ted Cruz was run out of a restaurant? They weren't actually. They were just brought around back and able to eat in peace after the mutant mob left. But maybe if you denounce that, maybe if you say, hey, wait a second, you're going too far. When Antifa starts screaming at people for wrong think, when leftists start yelling at people, minding their own business, then maybe you'll have the moral high ground. But not when you sit there and try and equate the term Fredo from The Godfather to a racial slur. That's where you lose everybody, Chris.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart and I want respect.
Speaking of dumb people who are smart and want respect, crazy, sniffy, creepy Uncle Joe. We've been through how many gaffes in just the last week? Poor kids are just as smart as white kids. Calling the former prime minister or the former prime minister of the UK, Theresa May, Margaret Thatcher on a couple of occasions. I mean, you name it. We believe in truth over facts. You name it, Sniffy's done it. Plus, he grabbed a girl's arm the other day and pulled her back. And don't start with me, kid. At the Iowa State Fair, he's just not having a good time. I'm not sure what he thought running for president this time would be like, but I think he thought it would be a lot easier. I think he thought that the ties to President Obama were going to be really all he needed to get the nomination. And now you got Democrats saying that Obamacare is a disaster and needs to be replaced. That's Barack Obama's signature achievement. That and flying $150 billion in cash to Iran. Those are, and destroying Libya. I forgot that. And the Benghazi mask and the IRS. Okay, the Obama administration doesn't have a lot of things it would call accomplishments, but its legacy is now being challenged and criticized by the left. It's quite a sight. And that leaves Joe Biden left to run on his personal charm and intelligence. And that is a fight for which Sniffy Uncle Joe is woefully ill-prepared. Now, just for fun, the Washington Free Beacon, David Rutz over there, whose videos I use often, put together a supercut of just some. Now, these aren't all Biden gaffes. These are Biden gaffes based on race, having to do with race. And it's a hell of a list to behold. I don't even know that this is extensive, but this is a pretty good indication of how out of touch. Now, think of it in terms, because some of these things you hear and you go, whatever. Think of it in terms of the woke Democratic primary activist voter. And imagine any of these things were said by a Republican. A Republican is called a Nazi for much less than what Joe Biden says in this.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids.
What kind of a chance would a Northeastern liberal like Joe Biden stand in the South if you were running in Democratic primaries against Southern Mark Warner and John Edwards?
You don't know my state. My state was a slave state. My state is a border state.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
When you got the first sort of mainstream African American who was articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy.
Who most foreign policy experts around the world say is the wisest man in the Orient.
It's a large, very identifiable Somali community. I might add, if you ever come to the train station with me, you'll notice that I have great relationships with them because there's an awful lot of driving cabs.
Apologize for what?
Former Vice President Biden Wednesday night stood by comments he made this week about his work with two segregationist senators.
I was in a caucus with James O. Eastland. He never called me boy. He always called me son.
At least there was some civility. We got things done.
There's not a racist bone in my body. I've been involved in civil rights my whole career. Period.
That's just a taste of Biden's gaffes. And a lot of them are visual, where he's like sniffing women's hair, touching young girls inappropriately. I don't think Joe Biden is a pervert for young girls. I think Joe Biden is creepy and doesn't realize that he's creepy. Well, this is impacting Biden world, and it is impacting Biden's polls. If you look at the polls, he's right about where he's always been. The debates haven't hurt him very much, but they also haven't helped him. Being seen on the campaign trail hasn't hurt him very much. He has come down a little bit, but it sure as hell hasn't helped him. He's not gaining support. He seems to be a hit with people who, A, aren't paying attention very much right now, and B, people who just look for the name or listen for the name that they know, the one that's familiar. Well, the New York Times is noticing the gaffes a little bit. They give him a lot of credit. They give him a pass. I mean, it's the New York Times. They're going to endorse whoever the Democrat is. They might as well just put out a generic endorsement now. And it's not just because of Donald Trump. It's because they're the New York Times. They have a piece entitled, "Joe Biden Knows He Says the Wrong Thing." You're like, what? Reporters write, "Many advisors and donors to Joseph R. Biden Jr. were elated last Wednesday when he delivered one of the best-reviewed speeches of his 2020 campaign, using prepared remarks on a teleprompter to accuse President Trump of encouraging white supremacy and face the next to frame the next election in sweeping moral terms about the future of the country." Of course the liberals loved that. That was their narrative. He came out in favor of it. Their jubilation didn't last long. Their jubilation. The next day, Mr. Biden made a gaffe saying poor kids were as bright and talented as white kids before correcting himself. Barely. A remark that sent his staff scrambling. Then on Saturday, he said that as vice president, he met with students who survived the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, when in fact the shooting had not occurred when he was in office. Indeed, in a span of less than a week, he also briefly mixed up where the El Paso and Dayton, Ohio gun massacres took place. He said Houston and Michigan, so he got the wrong city in one case and the wrong state in the other. The Times just kind of glosses over these things. Invoked former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of Britain when he apparently meant to say Theresa May, and fumbled an oft-repeated campaign line while at the Iowa State Fair. We believe in truth over facts. That last part isn't in the New York Times story, of course, but I'm getting to the point here. While his advisors dismissed the individual remarks as minor miscues that Mr. Biden mostly amended quickly, the slip-ups have become part of a pattern, a strong campaign trail moment followed by a blunder that dominates the news coverage. That has been enormously frustrating to them and some Democratic allies, say, to Mr. Biden himself. Here's where it gets into the, Mr. Biden has a long history of verbal flubs and gaffes, so much so that he is comfortable making light of these self-inflicted errors. But he's also a proud man who has often talked about his own brand of speaking plainly and off the cuff. In recent weeks, he has expressed frustration to allies that his candidacy will suffer if he is judged too harshly on the slip-ups, which he thinks he can do little to correct so long as he is being true to himself. So he's just going to continue making screw-ups, and he's mad that other people are going to make hay of it, mostly conservatives. The liberal media mostly leaves them alone. They report on them to the extent that they acknowledge they exist, but they gloss them over. Most of the discussions of Joe Biden saying that poor kids are just as smart as white kids were dismissed immediately as, well, you know what, Joe's not a racist. He gets the benefit of the doubt because he's a Democrat in good standing. If he were a Republican, he would be crucified. But the fact that he's cool with it, he thinks it's part of his charm, and he's mad or upset or concerned that somehow he's going to be held to some semblance of standards? This is the crux of the New York Times story? This is the crux of his defense? No, you know, it's just Joe being Joe. What are you going to do? He's got 40 years experience in the Senate. He was 8 years as vice president. And he likes to grab women and sniff their hair every once in a while, and he gets facts completely wrong. Just every now and then. It's no big deal. Realistically, it should be kind of a point of concern. Do you remember the 2008 campaign? John McCain ran for president and ultimately won the Republican nomination. What was a major issue during the campaign? John McCain's age, of course. How old is John McCain? Is he going? Do we even know that he would survive through a presidency? Why, he's already had cancer. We couldn't expect him to, you know, there's a good possibility he won't make it 4 years or 8 years. John McCain, this was my favorite thing in 2008. John McCain should come out and announce that he'll only serve one term, that he won't seek re-election. That will reassure voters of everything, blah, 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 blah. They went on from there and reassure voters that he's not going to be some doddering old man in the White House, in the Oval Office, well beyond his prime, losing his mind or sick and dying in office. He should make it clear, one term and then out. Well, John McCain was younger then than Joe Biden is now. Joe Biden is 76 years old. Should the worst case scenario happen and Joe Biden win the presidency, he will be older than Ronald Reagan was when he left office on the day Joe Biden enters office. Yet I haven't heard one single person say on the left, or the right, really, should Joe Biden just come out and say he'll serve only one term? He'll be far too old. He'll be 77 years old when he gets into office, 78, whatever. He'd be 82 when he ran for re-election. He should just announce now that he's only going to be a one-term president. In which case, you'd have to wonder why in the hell he would be running in the first place, which is what the left really wanted to get John McCain to agree to. Well, he's not going to be around long enough to do much. Then why should we elect him in the first place? They won't do that to Joe Biden. They will circle the wagons and protect Joe Biden. Times continue. Some of his advisors said in interviews that they were privately nervous that his recent gaffe spree would become cemented into the larger narrative of the presidential race. They also say that Mr. Biden faces an unfair double standard. Well, on that, I agree with them. He does face an unfair double standard where every racist thing he's ever said by today's standards is dismissed as, well, Joe's just being Joe. He's using words. He's creative with language. He's just that kind of guy. It's all dismissed as that. Any Republican anywhere running for any office says something remotely close to Barack Obama is an articulate and clean mainstream guy, and you can forget about forgiveness. There will be absolute hell to pay. But if you're a Joe Biden, you know what? We're just going to let it slide. It's Joe being Joe. Double standards. Yes, Joe Biden advisors, you're absolutely right. There are double standards, and they're benefiting you. And if you want his image to be something else, A, I think it's too late, and B, get him to stop screwing up. How's that? Prove to Democratic primary voters that he's not a doddering old man slowly slipping into senility, and people will stop thinking that he is a doddering old man slipping slowly into senility. If that bar is too high, well, then you can always have him come out and say he's only going to run for one term. You don't like it when the shoe's on the other foot, do you? Tough. You guys are the cobblers. Put those shoes on. In other news, there is immigration news, and this, of course, has the left immediately reaching for their pearls. They are outraged. It is charges of racism flying the idea that the Trump administration would do this. Oh, so soon after what happened in El Paso, how could they do? Oh, you can just hear it all yourself. You know how this works. The federal government announced new rules for those who are seeking legal status, looking to immigrate. They've been living here under guest visas or whatever, and they're looking to become permanent residents of the United States. Those rules are actually old rules. They're just going to be enforcing the law. It's the idea that you be able to take care of yourself, that you not suckle the government teat. And if you have in the past, you don't get to come in. Listen to how CNN frames it here, their story. The Trump administration released a regulation Monday that could dramatically cut the number of legal immigrants allowed to enter and stay in the U.S. by making it easier to reject green card and visa applications. Now, you don't really know what the hell is going on here. That's just a straight-up emotional appeal. That's the entire lead paragraph, conveying no information except that those meanies are doing mean stuff to our moral betters. Paired with last week's enforcement raids on a food processing plant in Mississippi, that has nothing to do with it. The raids in Mississippi were on illegal aliens, people working in this country illegally, and I hope they find the ever-loving crap out of those companies. But that has nothing to do with this situation, except, again, to try to make an emotional appeal, because emotion overrides logic every single time. Monday's announcement mounts to a concerted effort by the administration to limit legal immigration and crack down on illegal immigration. The rules mean any green card and visa applicants could be turned down if they have low incomes or little education. Hey, there's an idea. How about that? People who bring nothing to the table don't get to come in and sit at the table. What a novel, crazy idea. Merit. And have used benefits such as most forms of Medicaid, food stamps, and housing vouchers because they'd be deemed more likely to need government assistance in the future. No shit, Sherlock. You are not supposed to get those benefits if you are in this country. We have changed or ignored those rules to let them slide because we are a compassionate people, and we're going to compassion our ass right into the poorhouse. We're going to become Greece. Sooner or later, this house of cards and massive debt will collapse under its own weight. That's just economic reality. Do we want to make it worse? We don't have politicians willing to address any of it. So anything we can do to lessen the hurtling towards the abyss, I think, is a pretty good thing. But why in the hell would we allow people permanent residency and eventually a path to citizenship? These are legal immigrants. That's what this is. These are steps towards becoming a citizen. Why in the hell would we allow anybody into this country who's basically a drain on society? Now, we've been told by the left constantly that illegal immigrants are a key to economic success. Why, they're, without them, our economy would be in shambles, and it's an outrage. There are moral betters. They commit fewer crimes than we do, which is a made-up statistic. The government has been forbidden from keeping these statistics, yet somehow, miraculously, our moral betters who commit fewer crimes than us make up an incredible percentage of prisons around the country, prisoners around the country. It's just weird. There's a disconnect somewhere in there, and somebody's lying to you, and it's usually not the numbers. It's the people choosing which numbers to convey or ignoring the numbers, and that would be our Democratic friends. But the idea that you should invite people in here, come on in, you've been good here, you can come and live here permanently and get right on the pathway to citizenship, who have been on Medicaid and food stamps and getting housing vouchers. What are they going to add exactly to our society, to our country, for everybody? Of any color, any conceivable flavor of human being. This is compassionate. It is compassionate for the American taxpayer, which you're not allowed to be compassionate for anymore. You're supposed to say, screw them. Well, you're not supposed to say screw them. You're just supposed to screw them and say the needs of the illegal aliens are far superior to anything any American could ever possibly need. Here's how ABC News put it. And ABC News embedded the video of that girl crying the other day going, my daddy's been arrested. Oh, and well, your father broke the law. This is an important lesson for you. Don't break the law. Don't want none. Don't start none. The Trump administration, ABC News writes, is moving forward with one of its most aggressive steps yet to restrict legal immigration, denying green cards to many migrants who use Medicaid, food stamps, housing vouchers, and other forms of public assistance, officials announced Monday. Well, again, who cares? Federal law already requires those seeking to become permanent residents and gain legal status to prove they will not be a burden to the U.S., a public charge in government speak, but the new rules detail a broader range of programs that could disqualify them. Yeah, oh, so you can't suckle that teat, but you can suckle this one. Yeah, there's a lot of milking analogies and nursing analogies here. But do you see how absurd this is? The left is upset that we are going to possibly, and these rules don't go into effect till October, and who knows how well they'll be administered because the deep state will just continue to stamp approved on everybody, and many of them are so liberal in the bureaucracy that they will just go, you know what, screw it, I'm going to approve everybody. Because it really is a faceless bureaucrat who gets to make these decisions. There's no guarantee that they'll actually do their job. They sure as hell don't seem all that concerned with the American taxpayer. But the idea that, oh my goodness, this is a ridiculous, how oppressive, how mean, how cold-hearted. Yeah, I want my laws cold-hearted. I don't want to be governed by emotion. The left is only about emotion. Emotion makes you do incredibly stupid things. Emotion makes you, you know, call your ex in the middle of the night after a breakup when you're 20 years old and in college. Causes you to drive past their house. All the stupid things that we've all done in our lives. Those were not based on rational logic, sitting down and thinking about it thoroughly. And, you know, geez, if I just send her flowers again, she'll fall back in love with me or realize that she's really in love with me. Never works. Don't ever try to convince somebody to come back to you. It doesn't work. You're dealing with emotion, and that is irrational. nuts. But at a press briefing at the White House today with Ken Cuccinelli, who is the head, interim head of the department, I think he's facing confirmation still, acting head, I think is his title. He was asked by a reporter. Now, this was tweeted out by ABC News. I'm not really, I assume it's an ABC News reporter. I don't recognize the voice. But it brings back an interesting point about the left. They really, honest to God, believe that the Emma Lazarus poem on the base of the Statue of Liberty is somehow binding law or guiding policy. It's neither. It was a fundraiser, part of a fundraiser. And again, this is 150 years ago or whatever the hell it was. I'm not sure how you raise funds off a poem, but apparently it raised a lot of money and they put it on the base of the Statue of Liberty. Ken Cuccinelli's answer is good. I think it would have been better to be a little bit as a smartass and say, that's a poem that was used to fundraise for the base. It's not legally binding whatsoever. It's nice words. It's nothing more than that. But he doesn't. He gives a more official answer. But listen to this reporter's question and the answer.
The second question has to do with the fact that as long as the public charge rule has been in effect since the late 1800s, there have also been, almost as long, the words at the base of the Statue of Liberty that read, "Give us your tired, your poor." You were implementing a public charge rule for the first time. Is that sentiment, "Give us your tired, your poor," still operative in the United States, or should those words come down? Should the plaque come down off the Statue of Liberty?
Well, I'm certainly not prepared to take anything down off the Statue of Liberty. We have a long history of being one of the most welcoming nations in the world on a lot of bases, whether you be an asylee, whether you be coming here to join your family, or immigrating yourself. This rule will cover, for USCIS, almost 400,000 people a year whose applications to become legal permanent residents will include a meaningful analysis of whether they're likely to become a public charge or not. I do not think by any means we're ready to take anything off the Statue of Liberty.
It's such a stupid and ignorant question. I don't know how Cuccinelli didn't just lash out at this guy. Well, should we take that off the Statue of Liberty then? Send us your tired, your poor. There's a lot more to it. And it's also irrelevant to the Statue of Liberty. If you really want to get down to the Statue of Liberty, it was given to us by the French as a... We are the beacon of freedom in the world. The beacon is meant to light the way, not attract moths, not attract everybody. Oh, let's go to that light. It is to show the way, metaphorically. Our freedom, our liberty, our limited government. Of course, France didn't listen to this very long, but that's what the point of the Statue of Liberty is. We are showing the world the way, not saying, hey, world, come over here and join us. The left has so bastardized it to the point that it has no meaning whatsoever. They treat it as though something put on a plaque on a base of a statue is suddenly our binding law. Because, and to violate that, to go against that in any way, shape, or form, and by the way, go against their bastardized interpretation of the poem. If you read the whole poem, it is not, come one, come all, let's go. And if you don't agree with that, you're somehow a neo-Nazi racist monster and need to be destroyed. I don't know, I assume that everybody in the White House press briefing has a college degree. One would assume that they know the poem or have read the poem and would know that the poem is not law. But if you read the whole poem, all they ever quote is the "send us, you're tired, you're poor, and you're weak." Why? Because it's a bumper sticker. It's easier to remember. It's a talking point, and it sticks in people's heads. What's amazing to me is these alleged educated betters, these elites on the left who have media credentials, don't bother to educate themselves beyond what stuff they've always heard. You learn probably about the Emma Lazarus poem, if you learn about it at all, in drunken or stoned discussions in college. You cover a lot of ground in drunken and stoned conversations in college. At least I did. All sorts of things. And people say all sorts of stupid things. And the people you're talking to are just as dumb as you are when you're 20, 19, and 21. You're not really learning anything from them. You're hearing little bits of information that they've absorbed over their short lifetime, too. They can't really convey it with any context, certainly no deeper meaning, or give you anything more than the 30,000-foot platitudes. Most people will then go and look, and if they have an interest in a particular subject, certainly if they're going to speak publicly about it, they will go and look for broader context. Most people don't want to look stupid when they talk. They don't want to come across as stupid when they talk. That's a good instinct. That instinct atrophies. It goes away. It disappears when you don't ever find yourself challenged. When you live in a world where everybody agrees with you and nobody questions anything because you're all on the same team, you're all on the same page. That's what our press corps is suffering from. Nobody's ever thought differently around them. Even the people that they have on their television shows, the so-called conservatives, are not conservative anymore. They're anti-Trump, but they're registered Republicans. That allows the networks to have a pass and say, look, we have people from all across the political spectrum. It reminds me of the line from Blues Brothers. What kind of music do you have? We have both kinds, country and Western. What kind of political opinions do you have? We have both kinds. We have liberals who hate Donald Trump and Republicans who hate Donald Trump. All across the whole spectrum. You don't learn anything that way. You don't learn anything by never being challenged. And these people are not challenged. Ken Cuccinelli, I thought, should have done a better job of pushing back on this. He didn't. It kind of was a little bit of a deer in the headlights, in my opinion, in this clip. But his answer was right on. Come to this country, you don't become a public charge. All right? If you want to stay, you have to prove you're worth staying. American citizenship or even just legal residency in the United States is not something you throw around. It's something earned. It's something to be proud of. And if you just want to come here because, or maybe you came here with the best of intentions, but for whatever reason, a series of bad decisions have been made by you that found you on the public dole. Well, you can't stay then. Sorry. You can't do it. If you can't take care of yourself as a guest, you are not going to be able to take care of yourself as a resident. You are not going to be able to take care of yourself as a citizen. We will not bestow upon you the greatest thing this country can bestow on anybody. Something we bestow on a million people a year, and that is American citizenship. I'm sorry. You've got to go. Now, they're saying, and this is kind of telling and why this is important. The left is very upset because this could impact anywhere between 330,000 and a half a million illegal aliens or legal immigrants per year, they're saying. People who want to come to the country or people who are here who want to stay. On average, ABC News reports 544,000 people apply annually for green cards, with about 382 falling into categories that would be subject to this review. Now, it's a review. It's not even a guaranteed rejection. But if you're letting half a million plus stay, people who are here, and this isn't counting the people from around the world who are coming in legally, and more than half of them are subject to this new rule, that some point, who knows for how long, maybe their whole time, who knows, some point in their time here, they were on some form of public assistance. You really have to ask yourself, what in the hell are we doing and what have we been doing as a country when it comes to allowing people to immigrate to the United States? Do we have no standards whatsoever? Is that where we are? It is. Sadly, it is. It's messed up. So hell yes, apply these standards. What are you bringing to the table? Somebody wants to be invited to your potluck dinner? Ask them, what are you going to bring to the table? If it's nothing, just my charming personality, then you don't get to come, period. You know, it's kind of a sad story, a sad statement of what's happening over in the UK. We have the special relationship. We are closer to no other country. And we, in this country, mistakenly look at England, the UK, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. It's all the same, just changes the geography, but they're all under the same rules. We look at them as like us. And in many ways, they are like us. We have a common language. We have a common culture for the most part, although they're really, really into disco music over there. Their pop music and their alternative scene is way better than ours. But in general, we think of them as they're just like us, but they're not. They're just like the left wants us to be. Over there, their conservatives aren't all that conservative. Boris Johnson is going to get them out of the European Union, hopefully. Finally, the people will get what they voted for. But in general, we have a completely different view of government and of the world and of rights. And nothing illustrates it like this, because this is kind of what the left wants to bring here. This is from Newsweek. The headline, British police threaten prosecution for anyone caught mocking drug dealer's haircut. And you think, what? Don't they have free speech over there? No, they absolutely do not. We barely have it here. It's hanging on by a thread. When you got the ACLU saying that they're no longer going to defend certain people because of their, you know, infringement of their free speech because they don't like their political agenda, as abhorrent as it is, a principle is a principle. That used to be what the ACLU was good for. Occasionally they would do something that was right, that wasn't fully blown left wing. They would stand up to the left. They don't do that anymore for fundraising purposes. The story, police in the UK have been forced, have been forced to remind people that they could be prosecuted for posting offensive or abusive messages online after dozens of social media users mocked the hairstyle of a fugitive. Mocked the hairstyle. Now, keep in mind all the speech codes on college campuses here, all the things that get you banned on social media. And you think, well, you know, those are private companies, Derek, that can do what they want. Yes, they can, but they are the tip of the spear. This will come full circle. Government, if it gets in the hands of Democrats, will go down this path. It'll be under the guise of hate speech. Oh, you can't tell. Hate speech is not protected speech. It's insane. Gwent, G-W-E-N-T. Gwent police posted a mugshot of a 21-year-old named Tremaine Taylor onto his Facebook as part of an appeal to help find him. Taylor is being recalled to prison after he breached his license conditions, which were imposed following his release from jail in January of 2018. Taylor has received a 3-year sentence after being convicted of being concerned in supplying cocaine in September of 2017. Very confusing sentence. Following the release of the mugshot, a slew of trolls and other Facebook users ridiculed the suspect because of his hair. And if you scroll down in the article, you can see his hair. His hair is pretty damn stupid. It really is stupid. Well, the police decided to write on their Facebook after a whole bunch of people made fun of his hair. After the post went viral, Gwent police posted an update to remind people that they risk prosecution if they take their jokes and memes too far. Quote, this is what the police wrote. Please remember that harassing, threatening, or abusing people on social media can be against the law. Our advice is to be careful on social media as you would in any other form of communication. If you say something about someone which is grossly offensive or is an indecent, obscene, or menacing character, then you could be investigated by the police. Now, isn't that lovely? Does that sound free? The liberals in this country hold up the UK as an example for all sorts of things. The gun confiscation, the socialized medicine, the gun confiscation. Now London actually has a higher murder rate than New York City. How's that working out? We're supposed to get rid of gun violence. Now everybody's stabbing everybody, because if you're hell-bent on murder, you're not going to let a little thing like the law stand in your way. And socialized medicine, people are fleeing, people are being denied care, being denied coverage constantly. but the left holds it up as a shining example. The UK is so progressive. Well, they don't have free speech over there, which is another part of the reason why the left, even though they don't like the fact that Boris Johnson is prime minister and they are going to free themselves of the shackles of the European Union, which literally overrides the will of the people in their country to the will of the European elite, they are not a bastion of freedom. And anybody who holds up the UK as an example of something that we should aspire to, you should be wary of. You should be concerned about. We have enshrined in our Constitution protections against infringement on our rights, on our fundamental rights as human beings, rights with which we were born. There's one side of the political spectrum that looks at the Constitution as a living document that can be reinterpreted based on the will and whims of the moment. That means that those rights that are in the Bill of Rights that are protected from government, not granted by government, but protected from government, can, in fact, be infringed if they serve the greater good. It is a dangerous, slippery slope, and they show their cards all the time. I just encourage you and encourage everybody that when they do, take them seriously. The left shows you who they are. All we've got to do is believe them and convince others to believe them. Oh, we're out of time already. Holy Frank Tanana. Anyway, you can email me. Don't forget to email the the entries for the Liz Wheeler book. Email me questions. I think I might do a show about just answering questions, because I know it's frustrating. This is a one-way street, and it's just me talking. And you guys send questions all the time, but I answer them generally in email form. Maybe I'll do it on the show sometime. So email me any question that you have. Don't try not to make it about something happening right now, unless it's not a pressing answer that has to be answered tomorrow, because I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I'll try and build up a few of them. Maybe we'll do a whole show of just listener emails and questions. Email Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. It's Tuesday. We're already almost to Wednesday. The week is flying by. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. That's all I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great one.
I'll fucking throw you down these stairs like a fucking punk.